Moncrief on News Talk.
The Department of Education has published a new national school curriculum that will kick in 2026. There'll be more emphasis on STEM subjects, a foreign language in fifth class, and a well-being module that will include sex education. Curriculums tend to change in response to a changing world. So how does that apply if you're being homeschooled? There are about 2,500 registered homeschoolers in Ireland. Catherine Monaghan homeschooled her son through both primary and secondary, and he's now in college. Catherine, good afternoon.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. So, when you first made the decision to homeschool your son, what influenced that decision?
Well, he was very small at the time. I mean, I suppose he was 3 or 4, and a lot of his friends were starting school, or, you know, parents were deciding where to send their children to school. And look, I was just having a really good time with him at home, and he was really happy and thriving and, you know, learning lots, having a great little life. We were living in Australia. And I, at the time, just, I guess it was just gut feeling. And, you know, wanting him to kind of have the best that he could have. And I decided, well, we'll just maybe, you know, see how we go. Let's try this for a year. I wasn't Googling anything at the time. This is, you know, he's 20 now. So this was a good while ago, like pre-internet skills. But, you know, I found a couple of books to read about homeschooling and just thought, oh, we'll just give this a go for a year and see how it goes. I thought maybe I'd wait till he was, you know, 7 or, you know, just hold off for a little while. But it, you know, we never really looked back, to be honest.
Yeah. And in Australia, was there a procedure you had to go through to kind of register to homeschool?
There was. Well, so once your child was, I think it was maybe 6, you registered with the Department of Education. And then you had every year you had a visit from a representative from the Department of Education who kind of talked about what have you been doing for the last year? What are you going to do for the next year? And how's your child getting on? And then they kind of, you know, passed you for that year and you carried on as you were.
Yeah, and was that prescriptive in any sense that, like, this is what kids are learning in school and you have to hit these various points?
Well, I mean, it was and it wasn't. So, I mean, you were kind of expected to look at the Australian curriculum and, you know, cover roughly what was covered in that year, but no one was kind of testing you. It didn't really matter. Sometimes I would say, well, no, we're not doing that now. We're going to do that in, you know, next year or the year after or whatever. That was fine. Once you could show that your child was progressing each year, you know, no one was going to test them to see were they grade 3 level or grade 5 level. Once they could see that your child was progressing and that you kind of had plans, you know, you were good.
Yeah. For the entire spread of this, has it been a lot of work for you?
It has, you know, a lot of research and a lot of planning, but, you know, I loved it. I loved every day of it. I mean, I learned so much. I feel like I came out of it far better educated than I was when I came out of school myself. So, okay. You know, and look, I really enjoyed that. I mean, who's not passionate about their children learning? You know, nobody's more passionate about children learning than their parents. So, you know, I loved it. And it's really, you know, we might kind of say, okay, well, we're going to cover World War II or whatever. And then I would just find a way to do that he enjoyed and that I also enjoyed. So I absolutely loved it. And, you know, it's great relationship wise. You know, you're together, you know each other really well, you're learning a lot together. It's very satisfying. It's very enjoyable.
And when you moved back to Ireland then, how old was he?
He was almost 12.
Yeah, okay. And so did that differ in Ireland, the registration process and inspectors and that kind of thing?
Yeah, it did. I applied to register when we came back. And over here, basically you apply to register your child. I think, again, it's once they're 6. Once they've kind of acknowledged receipt of your application, you applied to TUSLA. Once they acknowledge receipt of your application, you're covered then legally to homeschool. But I don't know what the waiting list is right now. We waited a year and a half before somebody contacted us to do an assessment. And we had an assessment then, and then you're cleared to go. And I mean, we never saw anyone else again. So it's quite different here. I don't think the waiting time is as long. And you know, there's not near as much oversight.
That's interesting. Because then he would have been in secondary school if he'd been going to school. So did he do any of the exams? The junior cert, leaving cert?
Any exams? No, he didn't. Yeah. No.
Gosh. Okay.
Which was great.
but as you got closer to leaving cert age, was that in your mind that he might want to go to a third level and somehow you had to kind of figure out how to get him to that point?
Yeah, of course. Look, I mean, really what happened was, you know, when COVID finished, he was 16 and, you know, things were kind of getting back to normal and he really kind of wanted to get out in the world a bit then. Because to be honest, a lot of people think about, you know, socialization and all that when you're homeschooling, but we spend a lot of time out and about doing things. So when COVID happened, people would say, oh, but you're already homeschooling. That's really easy. But we were used to being out and about all the time, going to homeschool meetups around the country, meeting other people, going on excursions, doing things with friends. So it was a big deal for us to be home as well, even though the kind of schooling part of it, I suppose, we were used to.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And as he got older, did you, was it more formalized for you when you, because, you know, there's this, like for things like leaving certain higher maths and that kind of stuff, they, you know, the areas where I wouldn't have a clue what to, how to proceed with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you're kind of, as you're learning as you go yourself. So it's not like you're all of a sudden thrown into doing, you know, third year maths or, you know, fifth year science or something like that. So, you know, for me, a lot of the stuff we did, I was learning it and redoing it with him as we were going along. But to be honest, I actually found it was less, we had less structure and less involvement from me the older he got. Because obviously, you know, we all know teenagers, they want to be more independent and doing their own thing. So, you know, we would kind of pick programs that worked for him. And, you know, he didn't have to do Leaving Cert Maths because he wasn't doing a Leaving Cert. And, you know, maths wasn't one of his favorite things. So we, you know, we, and I knew that there were alternative routes into college. So he did, when he was 17, he went and did a FETAC course. So like a level 5 course in acting.
Yeah.
And then he enjoyed that. But, and you can use that then, that level 5 is the equivalent of a Leaving Cert. You can use that to apply on the CAO for, you know, any kind of relevant university course. But he didn't do that straight away. He was quite young, and he went and did a different course then. And then he did a couple of years of that, and then he used that to apply. And now he's in UCD.
Okay.
So,
and can you tell us what
he's 20 now? He's done 3 years of college already.
And can you tell us what he is studying now?
He's studying film and drama.
Okay. Yeah. So, but presumably, by the time he got to UCD, that would that have been his first experience of doing an exam?
Yeah. I mean, I guess his work that he was doing was probably a little bit more practical. There was some kind of, there were some exams, but not, maybe not as intense. We'll soon find out. So he's not, he hasn't, it's, he's only in there a couple of weeks now. So, so that will be a new experience for him. But, you know, like a lot of kids who've been homeschooled, he's quite self-motivated. It's, this is his thing. Mm. And I mean, I really believe, you know, there's lots of people who don't go to university who maybe go as mature students. And they figure out, okay, this is what I need to do for this exam. This is what I'll do. I'll do it. And if you want to do it, you know, you'll do it. You know, I mean, that's not, you don't have to have done 5 exams in 6th year to be able to go in and do an exam in university.
Yeah.
There are plenty of people. And a lot of home ed kids do that. They would do a FETAC course and use that then to apply to university. And they do great because they're often very motivated themselves. They're doing this because they want to themselves. You know, they're kind of, they're used to kind of driving their own learning a lot.
Mm, yeah. On the subject of socialization and making friends, I assume you kind of had to figure out alternative ways of doing that rather than the ready-made classroom option.
Well, we did, but, you know, it was a very organic thing. I mean, you know, by the time he got to 4, say, when he would have been starting school, we were already going to playgroup. We already had friends. We already had family. We're doing all of those normal life things. And we just carried on with that. We found other people who were homeschooling. You know, we'd meet up kind of, you know, once a week for this, or we'd do, you know, when we were in Australia, he would do all these various sports with other homeschool kids. And, you know, we'd go see our friends who homeschool, friends who didn't homeschool, relations, we'd go to the shops, you go to the post office, you go to the museum, you do all of these things where you're interacting with people all the time. It's just not 30 children the same age as you.
Sure. Yeah.
Which only happens at school.
Yeah. Is he sporty? Was that part of his life when he was growing up?
I mean, look, he enjoyed, you know, he did sport just with his friends, just for the fun of it. He did, you know, basketball and tennis and whatever, but it, you know, it wasn't a huge part. It was really for him, it was just a very social thing.
Mm. So are you in a position now that you could probably get 600 points in the Leaving Cert, having done all this work with him?
Maybe I should go and give it a try. I don't know.
People are, some of the listeners are wondering, did you teach him Irish?
No, I didn't. I mean, he was exempt from Irish because he was in Australia until he was 12. So he didn't have to. But, you know, it's not, people often ask about that. But, you know, and it is, you know, because it's part of the curriculum, people are expected to do something. But, I mean, that could be, you know, your kids doing some Irish on Duolingo. If they're not going to do the Leaving Cert, they don't have to do the Irish curriculum. If they're going to do the Leaving Cert and do an Irish exam, then you might, you know, follow the curriculum and do, you know, the appropriate texts and all that. But you don't have to.
Yeah. Because I suppose from your description of that, I would imagine it's somebody in a different situation, say if their child wanted to do chemistry or you know, needed access to a lab, it might be different. But you were kind of fortunate in the things he wanted to do.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, look, there's always classes and grinds and things people can get. You know, there's always, you know, now there's just, you know, infinite choice online in terms of courses and that you can do. But yeah, for practical stuff like that, it could be tricky. And some people choose to maybe go to school for fifth and sixth year if that's something they really want, you know. And sometimes maybe if you want to get straight into medicine when you're 18, then going and doing a Leaving Cert might be the most straightforward way to do it. Mm. But, you know, there are always workarounds.
Yeah.
People help people out. There's, like I said, there's classes you can do. I mean, I would, you know, when Theo was growing up, there were plenty of people who would get together. Like, let's say you had a few kids who wanted to do science, a group of people get together, maybe hire a teacher and, you know, organize it. So parents are very motivated usually to organize these things.
Yeah. Do you, now that he's kind of, he's going out of the house every day, you must miss him terribly.
Well, he's been doing that for a few years now, so it's grand. You know, look, I mean, it was a big change when he went off to do a course, but it's great. Like, he's ready for it. I just want him to be happy and out in the world doing his thing, enjoying himself and learning.
Yeah, Catherine, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was fascinating. That was Catherine Monaghan there, as you heard, homeschool her son Theo all the way through, and he's now in UCD. Does it not encourage codependency if the child only spends time with the parent, Liam wonders? Well, I know, in fairness to Catherine, she said they were going around the place meeting people. I don't think they were kind of locked in the same room for years at a time. G says, I'm thinking of homeschooling my son when the time comes for him to start school. How much prep did she put into what the daily school day would look like for her son? Well, as you heard there, she was kind of following things he was interested in. Now, it sounds like that there was kind of a more regular check-in from the authorities in Australia than perhaps there is here. Again, that could be down to resources. Did she find it easier to homeschool him with primary school subjects or at secondary school level? Well, you know, as you heard her say, she had to do a lot of work there to kind of find out about those things herself. So I suppose it's kind of both parties were getting educated in that sense. So, you know, interesting, but I would imagine at the same time, still a lot of work.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.